verses 30 through 38. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciple, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
We know that God is so good and he's working. Yeah. Yeah. I want to make a passage of scripture simply says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I got stuck on the not seen part. There's so many things that God does behind the scenes. And sometimes I'm frustrated on I-95, and all of a sudden I'll drive past an accident, and it could have been me in that place. But the word in the Psalms says, as good as God has been to me, I can't afford not to praise his name. Just for a few minutes, can you just think of his goodness? God is good. God is good. Come on, he's worthy to be praised.
that I don't have to give him. Because he's been just that good to me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come once again into your divine presence. Lord, with thanksgiving and with praise, God. Lord, because as good as you have been to us, Lord, we could have never been as good to you. Lord, we thank you because you have been faithful to us. Even when we were less than faithful to you, Lord, you brought us once again into your house of worship. Lord, where we could worship you in the beauty of holiness. So now, Lord, as your word is proclaimed, open our hearts and minds, oh God, and minister to us as only you can. Lord, meet us at our basic need. Lord, we pray for the unsaved that you would save them, oh God. That you would reclaim the backslider and stir up the lukewarm. Save them, God. Heal the afflicted and the sick. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Our text was read into your hearing, and to some of you it may be familiar because it's Mark's interpretation of the scripture we read and preached on last week. If you were paying attention, you would have caught that. But Mark adds a nuance to the text that Matthew doesn't. And sometimes when we study the Gospels and we read the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are sometimes various nuances that some miss that others pick up. And it is those areas that sometimes we need to overemphasize on, because God is speaking a special word for us. Mark expresses God's heart for fulfilling the purposes of God the Father. Jesus has a heart to please God.
Amen.
And he's teaching his disciples. And he says, and in his teaching, he talks about the imperatives. The reason why I came, the reason why I'm here, because I must suffer many things. And what you see what I'm going through right now is what is expected. I must suffer many things. I must be rejected of the elders. I'm going to be rejected of the chief priests. The scribes are going to reject me. I'm going to ultimately be killed. And then 3 days later, I'm going to come back again. We have to sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, but we must catch ourselves that our zeal doesn't overrule spiritual wisdom. Sometimes we can be very zealous and make the mistake of missing God.
Come on, Pastor.
We can be so on fire.
Yes.
So meaning to do well,
right,
that we end up missing Jesus.
Yeah.
And what the disciples needed to do at this point was just to hone in on what the master was trying to convey. We have to hone in on what he is saying and try to find the spiritual will of God in the word of God.
Yes.
As is the custom with Peter, Peter oftentimes spoke without thinking.
Yes.
He openly spoke this time, and Peter took Jesus with anger and rebuked him. What are you talking about, Jesus?
Uh-huh.
We just getting this thing going good, and you talking about you got to go through all of this?
Yes.
This is not how it's supposed to go.
Yes.
He spake out openly, and Jesus looks beyond Peter and sees the real problem.
Yes.
Amen.
Satan.
Yes.
He turned and looked at his disciples and rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou sayest not the things able to supersede that will of God.
Yes.
Because God's will and our will does not always line up.
Yes.
And what is oftentimes what we believe is best is not God's will for us or for others.
Amen.
And what Jesus is trying to convey is the will of God that he must do, and they have to be on board.
Yes.
After all, they're the disciples.
Uh-huh.
They were his hand-picked individual followers.
Yes.
And if anybody was going to be with him, it had to be them.
Amen.
He did not need Peter to rebuke him, did not need Peter to try to find an angle out, did not need Peter to try to find a loophole.
Yes.
Sometimes that's how we are. Sometimes we're looking for a way out.
Yes.
We're looking for a loophole. How can I please God and still have it my way?
Yes.
Just earlier, Peter had a confession that came from God. Jesus asked the question, who do people say that I am?
Yes.
And then after they asked the question, answer the question, he says to them, well, who do you say that I am?
Yes.
And Peter says, I art the Christ, the Son of the living God. His confession of faith came from the Father and not from the gossip of the crowd, but Peter's confession originated from God. And here, he turns around and does about faith. Jesus ends up rebuking Satan in him. It happens just like that. You can be walking with God and be distracted just like that and miss God. You can be walking, be all prayed up. You can be walking with God and just that quick. If you're not focused, you can miss God.
Amen.
Just that fast.
Amen.
He missed God. Because Satan, once again, does not want us to understand the doctrine of the cross. Does not want us to understand even now the doctrine of the cross.
Yes.
Many people still don't understand and been walking this way all their lives, the doctrine of the cross and why the cross is so significant to us as Christians. Peter wanted the glory, but he did not want the suffering that leads to glory.
Yes.
See, Lent is all about our identification with the Lord for 40 days, in this 40-day journey through the desert.
Yes.
40 days, we're called to consecrate, we're called to a closer walk. We're called to some introspection. We're called to examine ourselves in light of what he's done, in light of what he's going to do. We're called to walk with Jesus. We're called to a closer divine sanctification.
Yes. Yes.
We're called to this time of year, we're called to be so spiritual.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That we can't miss God.
Amen.
Discipleship. There is an issue here of discipleship. That is indulging self versus denying self. Jesus was very pointed in saying there is a life of self-indulgence and there's a life of self-denial. If you follow me, you're going to live a life of self-denial in lieu of a better life.
Yes.
Because I have something far greater for you than you believe you have, than you know yourself.
Right. Yes.
Self-indulgence, self-denial. A person has to make a choice between loving comfort and ease or commitment and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Have to make the decision of loving wealth and property or work and compassion. Loving recognition and fame or humility and sacrifice.
Yes.
We must make the decision of loving position and power or service and ministry.
Yes.
Loving pressure or pleasure or righteousness and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how does a person go about making the right choice?
Yes.
Well, Jesus says four things. And these four things, if you agree to these four things, there is a logical progression that follows.
Yes.
The first decision you must make, a person must decide to come after him. Very basic decision. Come after me. Whosoever will, come after me. He doesn't qualify anybody. He doesn't give a prerequisite. There's just a decision. There's just a choice. And after many, many years, there's still people walking this way and haven't made the choice. Still haven't made the decision, still haven't made the choice, still sitting on the fence, still trying to weigh the pros and the cons, and all you have to do is ration the fact that you're still here.
Yeah.
The fact that you have life and breath, the fact that you still have the activity of your limbs, the fact that you're in your right mind. See, some people ain't in their mind, they can't make a decision, but you can still make the choice, still make a decision, and you're still hedging on the fence. Still haven't made a choice. And because the choice is essential, because if you haven't made the choice, you can't go any further. If you don't make the choice, you can't go to step two, because step two necessitates you taking advantage of the first step, making a decision. And the Bible says a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all his ways. Make a choice. Because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, because you're sitting on the fence, I can't use you. Make a choice, make a decision. Well, after you've made this decision, decide, well, I'm going to follow Jesus, because if I follow Jesus, it's the better alternative to not following him. To following Jesus is always a better deal, always a better alternative, because nothing in the world has nothing to offer me.
Yes.
Nothing that's lasting, nothing that's significant, nothing is going to benefit me. So the benefit in following Jesus is weighed into your advantage.
Yes.
So secondly, you must deny themselves. We're going to get back to this. Then the third must take up your cross.
Yes.
Here's where Satan doesn't want you to understand the importance of the cross, the theology of the cross. Because if you decide to follow Jesus, there's a cross we all must bear.
Yes.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and the world go free? No, there's a cross for you and there's a cross for me. We must all take up our cross. We must all bear our cross. And I want you to know that everybody's cross is different.
That's right.
Everybody's cross is not the same.
Yes.
Some crosses are heavier than others.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Some crosses are a lot lighter than others.
Yes.
Amen. Because God blesses and gives according to our abilities.
Yes.
And because God gives you more, not because you're better, but because you're able to handle more,
yes,
don't worry that your cross is heavy, because God gave you that cross because you have the ability to carry the cross.
Yes.
If he didn't have the ability to carry the cross or that load of the cross, he would have given it to someone else.
Yes.
So he's given you a cross so that you'll be able to carry that cross, even though the burden comes along with the cross.
Yes.
So you have no business envying somebody else because of what they got. Because what God gave you was just for you. He wouldn't give you any more than you could handle. And he didn't give you a lighter load because you were blessed. Ain't nobody get off here. Everybody has to give an account for their own selves, for what God has given them. Now the second to the fourth thing is, once you have your cross, you must follow Jesus. That seems easy enough. Why is it so many times so many of us have issues with that?
Yes.
Why? Because there's an issue of life. We have issues with everything because of life. Life is the biggest issue of all issues.
Yes.
What do you mean about life? What is it about life that becomes so disruptive in our walk with Jesus? What is it about my life that becomes so disruptive that it inhibits me from being all that God wants me to be?
Yes.
What is it about life that impedes my progress, even though I want to follow Jesus?
Yes.
There's something about life that curtails me.
Yes.
There's something about life that impedes says no, you can't do it. Or
yes,
right now.
Yes.
That is saving life versus losing life.
Uh-huh.
Think about it. Jesus made a very surprising statement. He said, if a man wished to save his life, he must lose it. What did he mean?
Uh-huh.
What did he mean when he said he must, in order to save your life, you must lose it? What was it that Jesus meant when he said that? He said it in two key phrases. First phrase, for my sake.
Uh-huh.
In other words, I must be worthy of you losing your life.
Yes.
Jesus has to be worthy of you losing your life.
Uh-huh.
Jesus has to, you have to understand all that he has done for you that enable you to be here in the presence of God for you to want to lose your life for his sake.
Yes.
You have to think about what he's done for you and the role that he made possible for you by way of the cross in order for you to fall in love with him enough to want to lose your life.
Yeah.
That's heavy. That's very heavy. Jesus rebukes Peter for Peter's own good, because what Jesus must do, he must do for Peter.
Yes.
Jesus must do what he must do in accordance with God's will so that Peter can love Jesus with all his life, with all his heart, with all his soul. Notice what Jesus says to Peter in the final analysis. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, Jesus? Do you love me, Peter? Before his conversion, Peter had all the answers. Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. I love you more than all of these guys. They're all going to forsake you, but I'm never going to forsake you. They might forsake you, but I'm not the one. I'm with you. Anybody, I'm ready to die with you. This is Peter. We'll look at Peter a little bit later on. But he said, you must lose your life for my sake. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. The person who abandons this life, who sacrifices and gives all that he or she has for Christ, shall save his or her life. But the person who keeps his life, that is, what he has, what he seeks more of from this life, shall lose his life completely and eternally.
Yes.
This is a person who saves his life, who seeks to avoid aging, decaying, and death, and denies Christ, shall lose his life eternally.
Yes.
This is the same person who seeks to make his life more and more comfortable and secure beyond what is necessary and neglects Christ. In the end, this individual shall lose his life eternally. This same individual is the same person who seeks to gain wealth, power, and fame, and who compromises Christ, shall also lose his life eternally.
Yes.
The same person who seeks the thrills, the excitement, the stimulation of this world and ignores Christ shall ultimately lose his life eternally. You have to ask the question, is Christ worth my life? I must lose my life for his sake.
Yes.
You must do an adequate investigation in order to come to a better decision.
Uh-huh.
What is it that Christ has done for me that is worthy of me losing my life for him?
Yes, yes.
In other words, what is it that Christ has done that is worthy of me even living for him? Of me carrying this cross, this burden of a cross? What is it about Christ that, what has he done for me that would enable me to want to live for him, to carry a cross throughout the rest of my life?
Yes.
We get to that. The second phrase is, for my sake and then the gospel's sake. You must be willing to lose your life for my sake and the gospel's sake. In other words, you must believe in the cause. You must believe in the message. If that message has not transformed you, you're not willing to give up. But if the message of the gospel has transformed your life, has changed your life, has turned you around, has changed you from the inside out, if you have been conformed and transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you have proven what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, if you have been transformed, if you have been cleansed, if you have truly changed and been redeemed for the gospel's sake, you don't mind carrying the cross for the gospel's sake. You don't mind renouncing sin and say, you don't mind sake has so transformed your life and made your whole outlook on life different. See, I see differently now. I don't see the world the way I once seen. When I didn't have hope, when I didn't have a dream, when I didn't understand where I was going, when I didn't understand where I came from, when I didn't understand how much God loved me and what he gave himself for me, when I didn't understand all of those things, my view of everything was limited. But because of the message of the gospel, when I began to absorb the message of the gospel, the message of the gospel so transformed me on the inside out, now I have a different way of walking. I have a different way of talking. I have a different way of seeing my way through life. Why? Because I have hope beyond the here and now. See, this is why Jesus is so hard on Peter, because he does not want to water down the significance of the gospel of the cross. Because when you water down the significance of the gospel of the cross, you minimize his contribution to your eternal life. You minimize God's grace. You water down God's grace, and thus you water down the message. The message that is so transformative, the message that is so mind-boggling that a normal mind, people can't grasp it. How can a God so great love a person so unlovable? How can a God so great be so forgiving of a people so in need or so undeserving? How could God give me the mercy and the grace that I don't deserve? See, this is the two reasons why we give our lives to Christ. For his love and for his sake and for the gospel's sake. The Bible said, whosoever shall lose his life for the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. The person who abandons this life, who sacrifices and gives all that he is and has for the gospel, shall save his life. Why? Because the gospel has power.
Yes.
The gospel has transforming power. The gospel is the only power that we know that can take out a heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. See, the gospel is the only way that we can ever learn to love the way God loves. The gospel is the only way that God gives us that enables us to be like Jesus. So now when God sees us, he doesn't see a sinner. He doesn't see an old wretch. He sees Jesus. He sees his son. He sees the transformation of the word in us. Because in the beginning was the word was God, the word became flesh, and that flesh dwelled among earth. Jesus incarnate, the living word, was amongst us. And when he spoke the word was done. That word became manifest in the lives of those who believed. It became manifest in those who accepted it and embraced it. That word became power.
Hallelujah.
Transformed faith.
Hallelujah.
No wonder Peter was able to walk on water. Long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, Peter was able to walk on water. As long as he kept his eyes focused on the master, he was able to walk on water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, when he began to look at the circumstances and the situation around him, when he began to reason and I shouldn't be doing this, he began to sink. And all Jesus is saying, all you have to do is keep your eyes on me. See, as long as you keep your eyes focused on me, ain't no reason why you can't walk on water too. It ain't no reason why you can't do the things that I did, the things that Peter did, as long as you're focused on me. Because when you focus on me and take your eyes off of your circumstances, and take your eyes off of your situation, and take your eyes off of what you don't have, take your eyes off of what you ain't, I can do something. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, his focus, his attention, more than that, his affection. The reason why he was able to walk on water in the first place, because he wanted to be where Jesus was. He wanted to get to the master. He wanted to be able to embrace the master. He had been on a ship and the storm had passed, and all he wanted to do is get with the master.
Yes.
See, when all you want to do is be in the presence of God, ain't nothing you ain't going to get able to do to get to him.
Yes.
All you want to do is be in his presence. All you want to do is sit at his feet. All you want to do is bask at his word. All you want to do is embrace Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, watch and see what he going to do to you.
Amen.
Do for you, do through you, and by you. Then there's an issue of value, that is gaining the world versus saving the soul.
Yes.
The Greek word translated soul is the same Greek word translated life. Jesus used the word life in two senses. There are two stages, two being, two existences to the same life. The life that exists on this earth and the life that shall exist beyond this earth. Once a person's life, or once a person is born into this world, he will exist forever. It's just a matter of where he goes after this world, to be with God or to be apart from God.
Yes.
Regardless of what you believe or what you heard or what you studied in the science books,
yes,
you live on forever and ever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Now, let me explain something to you. I often wonder myself, if man or humanity's sin was so great, why did not God destroy us all, start all over with a new species? He could have started all over. He's God.
Yes, yes.
He could have made a master race of ducks that would worship him.
Yes.
He could have made a master race of hyenas.
Yes.
That would worship him.
Yes.
But he didn't. You know why? Because he took the time to fashion each and every one of us very uniquely and specific to his needs and purposes for us.
Yes.
Very uniquely crafted you and made you beautifully and wonderfully, crafted you after his image.
Yes.
Put his DNA in you.
Yes.
So that no matter where you go at in life, there will always be a GPS in your heart that pull you back to him.
Yes.
No matter where you go at in life, no matter where your journey takes you, no matter what you're facing, your circumstance, there's always a DNA GPS in you that will trouble, you call on Jesus. Whenever you become afraid, you call on Jesus. Whenever you get sick, you call on Jesus. Whenever you need a blessing, you call on Jesus. Whenever you need a word, you call on Jesus. Whenever you need to be delivered, you call on Jesus. See, when the chips are down and your back is against the wall, that internal GPS always will kick in and you will always call Abba Father. I know I've been disobedient. I know I've done wrong. I know I have missed the mark. I know I have fallen. But Daddy, I'm your son. Daddy, I'm your daughter. Daddy, I'm ready to come home. Daddy, come and get me. See, even an atheist calling on the name of God. Yeah, see, there's no atheist in the foxhole. See, we all call on God. When we get down to the basic essentials of who we are,
yes,
no matter where we are, no matter where we go, no matter how far out of range we get,
yes,
there is something in us.
Yes.
There's something in us that will always call on Daddy.
Yes.
There's something in us that will always say, Daddy, I belong to you.
Yes.
You made me after your image in your life. You may not use that language.
Yes.
But when you need help,
yes,
you know who to call on. The truth be told, even those in the world know who to call on when their backs are against the wall. And this is why the cross we must bear is worth the bearing. Because the cross you must bear also is a cross of burden for someone else. I'm carrying my cross because my cross is not just my burden for me, but my burden for those who don't know Jesus quite yet. Because the longer I carry this cross, God has given me until God gets final glory out of our life. You gotta ask yourself the question, has God gotten final glory out of your life? The answer would be no. Because if God has the final glory out of your life, it's time to go home. So the doctrine of the cross is very essential. These 40 days is very essential because it's during this time when we get to identify with Christ and his suffering and what he had to go through so that we're able to rededicate our lives. So when the resurrection day gets here, we have a new shout. Come on now. When resurrection day comes, you got to have a new brand. You got to have a brand new shout. See, Jesus Christ, come every day. So when resurrection time comes, I know I've been through something, I've carried something, I've not just sacrificed something, I've given something up. So that when resurrection time comes, when he comes out of the grave, when he comes out the grave once again, I have a new shout. I have a new glory. I have a God that has renewed my joy over and over and over and over. See, the problem with many of us is we don't have any new joy. So you got to understand every year when we get an opportunity to walk this journey during Lent season, and we get to reflect back on the cross and all what he's done for me. Songwriter said there on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I long to be on that old rugged cross where God was nailed on Calvary. The old rugged cross is a cross for me. I have a cross to bear, and I thank God that I'm worthy. He finds me worthy to carry that old cross. For the skeptic, we must understand everything fades and passes away. A person's possession is something, but for a short time. A person may choose money and property instead of helping to meet the needs of the world. But listen to this, money and property can be held only for a short time. A person may choose position, power, instead of giving his life where it would be most good. But position and power are held only for a short time. A woman may choose freedom and pleasure instead of home and family, but freedom and pleasure last only for a short time. A person may choose the world and comfort instead of God and his church, but the world and comfort do not satisfy, and they last only a short time. 1 Timothy 6:7 tells us, but we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we're going to carry nothing out. You don't even carry your good name out of here. You don't carry your wealth. You don't carry your treasure. You don't carry your fame. You don't carry your reputation. You don't carry your Oscars. You don't carry the Tony Award. You don't carry your Grammys. You don't carry anything out of the world. You leave it the way you came. Naked. Here's something else to think about. Everything cannot be used all at once. Everything sits is unused. Most of the time is unused. Most of the time your clothes sit. Most of the time your car sits. Most of the time power goes unused. Popularity and fame are not thought of. The human soul, however, is eternal. It never dies, never ceases to exist. It shall live forever, ever, either with or apart from God. The Bible tells us very clearly that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. In other words, that's a life that never ends. Everlasting life beyond the 80, 85, 90 years if you're blessed.
Yes.
Everlasting life. You live on and on and on and on and on. Why? Because God could have destroyed us all, but didn't, because he had plans for us beyond just now.
Yes.
Y'all ain't got that. He had plans for us beyond earth. He had plans for us beyond time. He had plans for us in eternity. That's why he never started over. That's why he refused to give up on redemption. That's why the cross is so significant, because it's not about time, it's about time and eternity.
Yeah.
Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it.
Amen.
Behold, it does not yet appear what we shall be like.
Yes, yes.
But we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye,
yes,
we shall be changed.
Yes.
Do you believe that? You have to believe that.
Yes.
You have to believe that there's more than here and now. You have to believe that God has something so much greater that you can't comprehend or receive. He said, I have not seen, nor has I have seen, ear has not entered into the minds of man what I have in store for those who love me. There's something on the other side. Children of God by trusting Christ and confessing him to be the Son of God. He said, whoever confesses me, I will confess before my Father.
Yes.
Whosoever shall deny me, I will deny before my Father.
Yes.
You wonder why your prayers ain't answered? Whoever confesses me before people, I will confess before my Father, who's in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me, I shall also deny him before my Father. If you've been denying God all day long, and now you're praying in Jesus' name, and he's before his Father, and his Father has the way to open up the windows of heaven and pouring out the blessing, and all he needs is Jesus, okay, and you deny says it. If you deny me, I'll deny you. If you confess me, I will confess you. Not just here and now, but in eternity.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Preach that. Thank you, Lord.
Discipleship saves us from the tragedy of a wasted life. What a shame it would be to go through all of this and to get to the end and find out there ain't nothing there for you.
Amen.
Again, when we understand the doctrine of the cross, then everything else crystallizes. We find our purpose. We find our destiny. We find our way. We understand why we're here and what we're here to do, because we understand and embrace the doctrine of the cross. Once Peter, once it all came crystallized to Peter, after Jesus had died, after he had come back to life, Peter backslid. After he denied Jesus, he backslid. You know what he did? He went fishing. He went fishing. He went back to what he was doing when Jesus met him the first time. Jesus met him, was fishing. He said, Peter, you catch any fish? He said, no, I ain't gonna catch no fish today. He said, what you want to do, Peter, is more pull your net out on the other side. And he pulled it. He couldn't even pull the net back in with so many fish. Jesus said, come on now, Peter, follow me. He dropped the fish and followed Jesus. Now Jesus on trial for his life, Peter denies him three times.
Yes.
And Peter said, I can't do this.
Right.
He backslid, he went fishing.
Uh-huh.
Jesus comes back and the women meet him and Jesus says, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive.
Yes.
Notice the scripture says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Now I don't know if the word reached Peter in time, but Peter's out there fishing, and guess who shows up? Hey Pete, how you doing? Can you imagine Peter? Oh no. It's you. Jesus didn't say, Peter, I told you was a nothing. I told you couldn't do it. He never said any of that. He never said, Peter, you got a big mouth. I came back to just to tell you, you got a big mouth. I told you I was going to do it. He didn't say any of that.
No, he didn't.
He said, Peter, you catching anything? Peter looked, oh. He asked Peter one question. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me more than these?
Yes.
Peter really understood for the very first time that he could not do this in his own power.
Amen.
He could not live this thing. He said, I phileo you my brother. But this thing you're talking about, I can't love you like that. I don't know nothing like that. He said, now you can be used. I can use you, Peter, because you know right now that you can't do this on your own. You need my help. When you surrender yourselves and you give up all to follow Jesus, you realize you can't do this in your strength. That even though you have made the choice to follow him, you have denied the world, and that you're carrying your cross, and that you have forsaken all to follow him, you still need his help.
Yes.
You need his strength. You need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to call on the Holy Spirit. You need to call on power from on high to give you the divine enablement to carry this cross. Sometimes the cross gets heavy. Sometimes the problems become insurmountable. Sometimes the task becomes too great. Sometimes when you begin to think about all that you have on your plate, you want to just carry it, just push some stuff back. But God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when you're weak, yet I am strong. And all you have to do is call the name of the Lord. And he'll come running. Stand on your feet. The doctrine of the cross is the most fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith. Why? Because he was hung up for your hang-ups. He was hung up and he died so that you might have life, so that you might live. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just that simple. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have fame. In fact, if you have nothing, all he wants you to do is come to him as you are.
Amen.
Come just as you are. You ain't got to fix yourself up. You can't fix yourself up. You can't clean your life up. You can't stop that stuff. You need Jesus.
Amen.
That's why he came in the first place. He came for those who needed him. Somebody need him this morning. You've been struggling too long. You've been weighed down too long. You've been under too much too long. God is saying, I want to lift that off you right now. But you have to make the first step. You have to decide. You have to make up your mind. You have to make that choice. Make that decision. Step out from the crowd. I want you to make your way down front. Make your way down here so that I can pray for you. Spirit is dealing with somebody. The Spirit is dealing with somebody this morning. Somebody is carrying a load. And God wants you to let that load go and don't let it go. You've been struggling with that thing. You've been trying to do it your way. Don't let the devil talk you out of this. And stop worrying about what people want to think of you. Because we ain't got nowhere to send you. No heaven to place you in, and no hell to put you in. You need to get right with Jesus. You need to get right with God and do it now. Tomorrow is not promised to nobody. There are folks who were here last week who ain't here this week. You've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. How much longer are you going to put it off? Harden not your hearts. The day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. It's the last call. I'm not going to beg you. You either want him or you don't. You want the transformation. You want a new direction. Only Jesus can give you that. If you need prayer, the altar is open. Please find your way to the altar. The Bible tells us that healing is the children's bread. He's able to do exceedingly above and beyond all that we're able to ask or to think, according to the power that is in you. You have the power. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you're able to ask for, according to the power that's in you, the faith that is in you. You know why Jesus couldn't do miracles and wonders amongst his own people? Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe he was the Christ. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. And so Jesus couldn't heal them. He couldn't deliver them. He couldn't set them free. So he had to leave home. He had to go somewhere else. He had to go to Capernaum. He had to go other places where they could perceive his ministry and believe. And because they believed, they were healed. Because they believed, they were delivered. Because they believed, their sight was restored. Because they believed, they ate. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence once again, Lord, one more time. With thanksgiving and with praise, because we know that you are the only God, the true and living God, the only one that could heal, the only one that could set free, the only one that could deliver. We know that you're the only one that can make a way when there is no way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, God, that you would touch everyone here under the sound of my voice. Yes. Touches all, God, from the crown of our heads to the very soles of our feet, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, renew our strength and our energy, oh God. Rebuke the devourer that would come on every side. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. And on the authority of God's word, we're claiming all of God's promises. We're claiming healing in our bodies. We claim that you would mend those broken, broken relationships. We pray, we claim prosperity as our souls prosper. Lord, we know that the earth is yours, the fullness thereof belongs to you. The cattle and a thousand hills all belong to you, God. the truth that you are able to do all that we're asked above and beyond, but we're able to ask for things according to our faith in Jesus' name. Amen.